Welcome to the Calvary Podcast. Get ready to dive into an inspiring message. Our aim is to share teachings that bring transformation and hope to your life. So open your heart, be ready to listen, and prepare for a powerful encounter with the Word. Let's get started.
So as I found out that I was going to pinch hit today, and you know what? That's fine with me. I love it. God began to give me a word for you, and I'm going to share this word today, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Therefore, put on the partial armor of God. You say it with me. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. See, sometimes we just don't put everything on. I mean, would you even consider going out of the house half-dressed? No. So we need to not ever consider walking out into the world without the full armor of God. Amen. And then he goes on to say, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, and the beginning of verse 14 says, stand. After you've done everything you know to do to stand, stand. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you have ever gone through any difficult, hard times in your life? Duh. Yeah, we all have. How many of you right now today, you're going through some difficult, hard times in your life? Not as many, but hands all over the sanctuary. You know, hard times and things like the check engine light comes on. Have you ever had that to come on and a panic just goes through you? And all it's doing is say, check the engine. It's not saying it's about to blow up right now, but we panic. So maybe the check engine light has come on, or maybe, much more seriously, there are some health issues in the family. There's some unexpected bills that come in the mail. Your workload is causing you to lose sleep at night. And then a relationship that you have just blows up in your face. You find yourself in hard times. You don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to share with you this morning what we're supposed to do. Because inevitably, hard times are going to hit each and every one of us. Amen. Difficult times, sleepless nights are going to hit each and every one of us. There are a lot of reasons that these kind of things come into our life. There are a lot of reasons that they happen, but I don't think we need to discount the possibility that when they do happen, that we're experiencing what Paul called the evil day. Because when we experience most of those, if not all of them, they're brought about by the enemy. Now, sometimes we bring those things on ourselves. Now, how many of you will admit that? I gave a car away one time, and I told him, I said, now, it uses oil, but that's the only problem that I know that it has, so you really need to keep a good check on the oil. It was a 1973 Clemson Orange Volkswagen Bug. Had dual exhaust coming out of the back of it. And I'd started pastoring, and everybody knew when I was pulling up in the yard to make a visit. Blah, 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 blah. And God spoke to Sharon and I and told us to give it away. It wasn't the deacons of the church. It was God, okay? So I said, you've got to keep a check on the oil. And so about, I don't know, maybe 9 months later, we were talking to the individual, and I said, how's that Volkswagen doing? He said, man, that thing blew up on me. I said, did you check the oil? Well, no. It was his fault that the engine locked down on him and blew up. So we, at times, though, the enemy will bring about these evil days into our life. And when it is the enemy, when it is Satan coming against us, be it physically or financially or relationship-wise or in any way, the Bible indicates that these precise enemy attacks will periodically happen, and we should not only expect them, but Paul said we need to be prepared for it by putting on the full armor of God. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we wouldn't even consider going out of the house half dressed. Well, why in the world would we go out into a world and face the enemy without the armor of God on us? Because we're just inviting him to send a fiery dart to any of those places that we do not have the armor of God. Please hear me today. Because you are made in the image of God, because you are saved by his Son, because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and because you and I are destined for the glory of God, Satan has put a target on your back, and he wants to do everything that he can to destroy you. But I've got some great news for you. Because you are made in the image of God, because you are saved by his Son, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, because you are destined for the glory of God, you are victorious, and no weapon formed against you will prosper in Jesus' name. I know the enemy wants to attack us. I know he wants to pull us down. I know he wants to discourage us. But what I know even better than that is I can find my encouragement in Jesus Christ. I can find my encouragement by praying in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit giving me that encouragement and keeping me from depression. You are a child of God. What's Satan after when he does all of that? What is he after? Well, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to hijack your faith. Steal your joy. Hijack your faith. He wants to sabotage your morality. Woo. I think I heard one amen over on this side. If he can steal your joy and hijack your faith, he can destroy and sabotage your morality, and ultimately he's trying to derail your testimony.
Amen.
He's after your deepest core. He's after the headquarters of your mind and your heart, where your faith is anchored and you have fellowship with God on a daily basis. He's after that core to try to destroy it so you can no longer, or you are no longer, having that kind of fellowship with God. Let me tell you something. When the enemy attacks me and I have fellowship with God, be it in the morning, the noontime, the evening time, and sometimes all day long, he lifts me out of that situation. He lifts me out of any depression. He lifts me out of any foul, wrong thinking that the enemy has tried to put in my mind. And he lets me know that I am with you. I will take you through this. I am your victory, and I will show you that victory in your life. How many of you have ever experienced that in your life? I know you have. But Satan will do whatever he can to try and make you have so much doubt and so much discomfort that you'll just want to give up. See, that's really what he's after, trying to get you to give up. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have known Christians on fire and they just give up? You don't see them anymore. They quit coming to church. They quit having fellowship with other Christians. And obviously they quit having fellowship with God Almighty, and they've just given up. And Satan has won his battle with them. As long as you don't give up, he's going to attack you. But as long as you don't give up, Jesus is going to sustain you. Hallelujah. I am fully convinced that there are some attacks that the enemy was bringing my way, and Jesus just stepped in and said, "Not today, Satan." Amen. Now, some things I've had to endure and go through, but he was always with me. He brought me through it fully and completely. But the enemy is going to always do everything that he can to destroy our faith in God and try to get us just to give up. He wants to make you question your faith in God's goodness and your faith in God's love and what God's word says about you. But if we stay in the word, if we stay in prayer, if we pray in the spirit, if we praise the Lord, as we sing hallelujah, as we make declarations unto the Lord, the enemy will lose every single time. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. The Bible says that we can be prepared for those things that the enemy is going to bring against us. That we can stay strong. And that we can stay strong because God never changes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Now, I know I've changed a lot physically. You've heard me say this before. When Sharon married me, I was 160 pounds. That wasn't you, was it? But to go along with that, woo, this is what I tell her. I was 160, but God has blessed her 100-fold. Hallelujah. I know you've heard it. I just like saying it again and again. I've changed, okay? I used to have a chin, but I've changed. We change. We change. But God never changes. The faithful God that you began to follow, he's still faithful.
Yes, he is.
The all-powerful God that has come into your life before, he's still all-powerful.
Yes, he is.
The God who loves you with a love that we cannot understand is still a loving God. He never changes.
Yes.
But we can't rely on our own strength. I'm getting to Colossians 2. We can't rely on our own strength or our own kung fu skills. But we have to rely on the Spirit of God that is living inside of us. We have to rely on the Word of God that we have in our hand. And we have to rely on a protective Father and a victorious Lord who is standing on either side of us, carrying us through whatever the enemy is trying to bring against us. And always, always, always remember that Jesus has disarmed the devil. He has removed the bullets from the devil's gun. He has removed the blade from the devil's sword. And read with me. Colossians 2, I want to begin at verse 13 actually. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your faith, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. That's how he made us alive. Verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now listen to verse 15. He nailed all of that to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by in the cross. I love that he made a public spectacle. I'm not... I'm just trying to paint you a mental picture. That's one of the ways I learn. I visualize things. And when I read that, I see Jesus stripping every bit of armor off of the enemy, the gun, the bullets from his gun, the blade from his sword, and he's leaving the enemy naked. He is embarrassing him in front of all the demons. He's embarrassing him in front of all the angels. Jesus has made a spectacle of him. He didn't just defeat him. He defeated Satan. Hallelujah. And we need to know that that's the Jesus that we have living inside of us today. Just as he defeated him then, he has and will defeat him today. Praise God. Now I want you to turn over, go all the way back to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I want you to see someone who, and I don't think any of us in here this morning have ever been attacked by the enemy like this man was. We've had one, maybe two of these things, but I want you to notice that he had these things one right after another. And the way I read this, it was all in one day. But in Job, I'm going to show you, and I hate to even give the enemy any credit, but I want to show you what he's capable of doing. Because we need to understand the enemy that we're up against. You should never, ever let your guard down. You should never, ever say, boy, we had a great service today, so I don't need to pray this week. Oh, yes, you do. Because we had a great service is one of the reasons you need to pray. Because the enemy will come in and try to steal the joy and the victory that you had during this service. He's capable, but it doesn't mean that he has to, and we'll see that as we go along. In Job chapter 1, I'm going to begin with verse 13, and then I'll back up with some other verses in just a moment. Job 1, verse 13. One day, when Job's sons and daughters, now understand that they did this on a regular basis. They got together, brothers and sisters, and they'd have a feast in one or the other's home. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God, now they didn't know any better, they just saw it fall down, and so he said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, this had to be the worst news of all. Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. This man was not having a good day. One right after another. You've lost this, you've lost that, you've lost this, and now you've lost all your sons and daughters. This had to be the absolute worst day of Job's life. I can't imagine, you know, all of those things, the possessions, the animals and all of that, those could be replaced. But then to get the news that all of his sons and all of his daughters died when the house collapsed on top of them. Well, maybe they were just accidents, Pastor Tony. Maybe they were just coincidence. Maybe it was just climate change. No, 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 no. This was the enemy. He had gotten permission to attack Job. God said, you can touch anything but his body. You can't touch him. Back up to verse 9. And let's begin reading again. Satan is talking, and he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch your hand out and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You see what the devil was after? He was after getting Job to lose faith in God.
Yeah, yeah.
He was after trying to get Job to turn his back on God and curse the Lord. Verse 12, and then the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. And then Satan went from the presence of the Lord, and then we have the story that I read you first. That is exactly what Satan is trying to do in your life and my life.
Amen. Amen.
And then I read through that, and all the oxen are gone, all the donkeys are gone, all the camels are gone, all his children are gone. But I realize Satan left one person untouched. Now, before I go any further, I want to say this. I have a wonderful, 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 wonderful wife. I am blessed beyond measure. She's seen fit to stay with me for over 52 years. Married, we dated for 3 years prior to that, so 55 years. Well, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So needless to say, she knows me. Yeah. Because you're sitting there saying, how does that woman put up with you? Because I love her. God has given me a love for her that I can't even begin to describe to you today. All right? Having said that, Mrs. Job, man, she must have been some more mean woman. Satan didn't even touch her. He killed the children, and the bulls and the oxen and the donkeys and the camels were gone. And the demon said, but you didn't even touch Mrs. Job. And Satan said, yeah, but you don't understand. I know Mrs. Job, and I know how I'm about to use her. And in chapter 2, and I think it's verse 9, Mrs. Job walks up behind Job, because he's now full of boils, and he's scraping the sores with broken pottery. And she walks up behind him, and she said, you're still trying to keep your integrity? She said, why don't you just curse God and die? And if I've ever heard the voice of the enemy, that was the voice of the enemy. Why don't you curse God and die? Let me tell you something. I will never curse God, because my God has blessed me with eternal life. He's blessed me with Jesus Christ. He's blessed me with the Holy Spirit. He's blessed me. He's blessed me. He's blessed me. Hallelujah. God forbid that I would ever curse God, because the day that I do, I probably would die, but I'm not going to. But this is what she tried to get Job to do. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan had been trying to get Job to do. To curse God and die. But just the opposite happened. In chapter 1 again, verses 20 through 22. And after Job had gotten all of that word, it said that he got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground in what? Worship. He worshiped the Lord. I'm not saying this to embarrass or hurt anyone's feelings, and I would never call any names whatsoever unless it's me and Sharon, okay? But it's not her, and it's not me. So it must be somebody out there, all right? I'm not going to call you out, though. I love talking to people on Sunday mornings as you come in. I literally love it. Sharon and I are over the greeters now, and she says she loves being out there. She's getting to know people that she's always heard me call their name, but now she can put a face to them. And maybe what I'm about to say will put a stop to this, but you can't imagine the times I'll greet someone and I'll say, "How are you doing?" It's like the dam burst open and they just begin to tell me how they're doing. And it's not good. It's horrible. This is bad. That is bad. Life is tough. I don't know how I'm making it. I need your prayers. Oh, I'll pray for you. But you need an attitude adjustment. You need a change of heart. You need to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though you're in the situation you're in, you're walking through it. God will not leave you there. If you praise Him, if you exalt Him, if you read His Word, if you pray in the Spirit, God will bring you not only through it, but out of it and give you victory over it. Can someone say amen to that? Hallelujah. When everything was against Job, he worshiped. He held on to God. Later it says in chapter 13 in verse 15, he says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." Now look, this lets me know just how much faith Job had in God. He thought God might have been the one slaying him. But he said, "Even if he, God, slays me, I'll still have hope in him." How many of us could say that today? I trust and pray and believe all of us can and will. Even though he slay me, I will hope in him. And then in chapter 19, verse 25, it says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Hallelujah. Redeemer means he redeemed me out of this. He will take me out of this. He has paid the price. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, has paid the price. He has taken you off of that auction block, and you now belong to him. My Redeemer lives, and I will forever, forever, forever praise my Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give praise to Jesus Christ. But by the same token, we know that Satan is still using that same old raggedy playbook. Peter tells us, while I'm going to share with you what Peter tells us, I want you to turn over to the book of James. James chapter 4. But Peter tells us that the enemy is prowling around as a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. You know, lions roar. That roar, and I should have looked this up before this morning, but literally it can be heard for miles. But when other animals on the plains hear that roar, fear comes into their heart. And because of that fear, the enemy is able to attack them and sometimes overtake them. But it says he's like a roaring lion. Doesn't mean he is a lion. Even if he is, Jesus has pulled every tooth in his head. He took the bullets from his gun and the teeth from his head. But look what James tells us in chapter 4. I Actually, I'm going to begin reading in the middle of verse 6. It says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. I will always be one that any victories in my life, I will always give God the praise and the glory. Because first of all, God will not share his glory with anyone. But he's worthy all glory, all praise, and all hallelujahs I can give him. I humble myself before him. I look at what God has done in my life, and mine and Sharon's life, and Josh and Maria's life. And I am awestruck at the awesomeness of God. I humble myself before him. And because of that humility, he just brings more and more favor. More and more favor. More and more favor. But verse 7 says, out of that humility, submit. And this is what humility is. Submit yourself then to God. And once you have submitted to the Lord and you've gotten rid of that pride in your life, he says, then you can resist the devil.
All right.
And he'll flee from you. Resist the devil. But first we have to submit to God.
Amen.
See, Job was fully submitted to the Lord. And even though he ended up losing everything, he still worshiped God. He still submitted his life to God. And as he began to submit to God, he would resist even what his friends began to tell him, those rascals, telling them, well, you've done this or you've done that. You've got some hidden sin in your life, blah, 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 blah. But then later on in the book of Job, we see that Job began to pray and bless those who had spoken curses over him. Kind of sounds like Jesus on the cross, doesn't it? Bless those, for they do not know what they're doing to me. They don't understand. So God, forgive them. Forgive them, oh God. And then back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I can't be strong in Tony. But I can be strong in the Lord. I can be strong in Jesus and in his mighty power. Excuse me just for a minute. But I don't have to try and be strong in myself.
That's right.
I have the name of Jesus. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
I have the Word of God. Sharon has been repeating in our household, just as a reminder, about how powerful the Word of God is. I know you know this, but how did God create everything that was created? He spoke it. He spoke it. The Bible that we have is what? It is his spoken, written word. It is the word of God. How did Jesus defeat the enemy when he was in the desert? Thus saith the Lord. He spoke the word over the enemy. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in his word, in his mighty power. And then verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
No.
What does Pastor say? A sele moment. We get quiet. We think about it. For our battle is not against flesh and blood. I don't care who seems to be coming against you. They're not your real problem. And you need to quit hating them. You need to quit putting sly little remarks on Facebook about them. I mean this with all of my heart. I don't care what you do to me, you will never see it on Facebook. If you see anything on social media, it'll be that I am lifting you up. I'm talking about how good you are. But you know what? I don't put that much on Facebook anyway. I'd rather just speak blessings over you. Just like Job did with those friends that were ridiculing him and telling him how bad he was. And when Job began to speak blessings, that's when God restored, and not only restored, but even multiplied everything that he had lost. So ladies and gentlemen, your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your mama or your daddy. It's not grandpa or grandma. It's not your next door neighbor. It is the enemy. His name is Satan. And he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is giving you life, and life abundantly in him. Hallelujah. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, and this is where we read at the beginning, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, so when it comes, it's going to come.
Amen.
The enemy's going to attack. But you're going to be ready for it when it does come. You're not going to be caught unaware. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Jesus said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life." Hallelujah. You're taking and you're buckling up with Jesus Christ. You ever seen any of those videos where people get in that slingshot and man, they're checking the harness, they're checking the seatbelt, and then some of them say, "I don't want to go, I don't want to go," and then that thing shoots them out and they just pass out. That's the kind of thing I love to watch, somebody else in trouble, all right? I'm praying for you, sister. Oh, she woke up. Hallelujah. But they're checking the seat belts. Let me tell you something. There's a belt of truth that you can put around you. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You can check it if you want to, but he will never, ever let you go. He will hold you regardless of what you find yourself in, regardless of the way the enemy throws you out and back, up and down, in or out. Jesus will hold tight onto you, for he is the truth. Hallelujah. And then the breastplate of righteousness in place. Because see, Satan's after your heart. He wants to pierce your heart. But you've got to put that breastplate of righteousness. And again, who is that? Jesus. For he is my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what? My righteousness is not just as. My righteousness is filthy rags. But his righteousness, oh, his righteousness makes me holy, makes me right with God, gives me right standing with God, so I can come boldly before the throne of grace. And then he says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let me tell you something. If your feet are not fitted with the gospel of peace, when you just begin to see the enemy, you're going to have fear come in those feet. You know what happens when fear comes in your feet? You're going to start running. You're going to start running. And you're going to run not toward Jesus. You're going to run right into the trap that Satan has laid for you. Satan has laid a trap for each and every one of us. But if we stand firm in the peace of Jesus Christ, for he is my peace, I know that he will watch over me. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. I will not accept this. I stand in the peace of Jesus Christ. and he will sustain me regardless of what the enemy tries to bring against me. In addition to all this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Don't ever forget that prayer is part of the armor. See, I think some of us, we get dressed pretty good. The helmet of salvation, breastplate, righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of peace. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus, but we don't pray. We lose out of one of the most important weapons that God has given us. Prayer. Praying the word. Declaring the word in prayer. Oh, my God, my God. I want to share these lyrics with you. You probably know this song even better than I, but as I was making preparation for this, I was just going through some of my library, and I came on this song from Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm. Don't raise your hands. How many of you can praise him in the storm? Or how many of us are like the disciples? Master, Master, wake up. Do you not care? We're about to drown. Are you able to praise him in the storm? Listen to these words. You're in the storm. You've even been praying some. But it says this, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say, amen. And it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I am with you. Have you ever heard God tell you that? I am with you. I'd learned a long time ago, you go back into the Old Testament and see the prophet was wanting to hear from the Lord, and he wasn't in the thunder, but he was in that still small voice. And I learned a long time ago, sometimes I have to get quiet. And when I get quiet and I quit running around, I can hear the Lord say, I am with you. Oh, my God, just to hear those words, he's with me, gives me faith, gives me strength, gives me courage. The lyrics go on. And as your mercy falls, I lift my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I want to ask our worship team if they would come back up. We're going to sing that first song that we sang this morning. Goes on and says, so I'll praise you in this storm. I will lift my hands. For I will lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, and every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. He catches those tears. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. And I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I am with you. I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll lift my hands and praise the God who gives all and takes away. So I'll praise you in the storm, and I'll lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. They repeat it. I will lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, of heaven and earth. So I'll praise you in this storm. Oh, I'll lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, every tear I cry, oh, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will trust that you are Lord.
Yes.
Come on out, guys. Yes. Amen. Maybe some of you need to find that. That's mercy me. I don't know. Maybe you're like me. Sometimes I hear the music, but I don't always get all the words. And when I looked that up, I thought, oh my God, I've missed a lot by not hearing all the words. Stand up with me. I know some of you are in that time of trouble right now. But I'm going to say it again. God didn't bring that trouble to you. So you quit blaming God. I've actually prayed for people right here who said, why did God do this? There is a permissive will of God that allows the enemy to do things, but he did not purposely bring it about. For God is good, and his mercy endures forever. And this morning, if you're in that battle, if you're in that storm, I want you to know that you are held in the hand of God. He hears your cry and he whispers to you, I am with you. I am with you.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you found this message uplifting and encouraging. If you're looking to connect in person, we gather every Sunday at 10 a.m. You can also find us online at calvaryassembly.org. And don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, for more content, updates, and to stay connected with our community.